Welcome to episode 27 of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. I'm your host, Todd Schaefer. My guest in this episode is Canadian animator Chris Ween. Chris studied animation and spent his early career in the prairie provinces of Canada. Not a place you would think you would get a good education nor be able to sustain a career. But Chris did. And on top of that, Chris got into animation much later in life than most animators. Through sheer determination and hard work, Chris demonstrates that you can carve out of a career in the most unlikely places.
I'm
always interested in hearing the stories of other artists and animators. I'm fascinated by all the different journeys we end up taking to find our way in our craft and develop our craft and all the struggles we face and then how we actually live our lives and make this existence work in a creative field. And so why don't you start by telling me a little bit about where you came from, what you did as a kid, what got you interested in the arts, what that looked like?
Okay. I guess the first thing that interested me is my mom actually was pretty creative herself. And I distinctly remember, I was about 6 years old at the kitchen table, she knew how to draw wolves really well. So just like on a post-it note or a small piece of paper, she taught me how to draw this profile of a wolf just howling at the moon type of thing. So I guess it started there. And then, of course, I was, you know, really interested in, you know, all the Disney films, like especially the older ones, like Sword in the Stone is like one of my favorites. Not only just because of the design of it, but like just the sound of it. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
Like the sound quality, it just really fascinated me. And their backgrounds, like I'm not a background artist in any way, but I really, really loved how they actually like painted outside the lines in the background.
It is a striking film. You know that?
Yeah.
And of course you would like it because they got that cool wolf in it.
Oh, yeah. I never really thought about that, right? He's just so hungry.
He was always hungry. He just couldn't get his meal.
Yeah,
that was a good film.
Yeah, and then I guess from there, I think I kind of peaked interest-wise in about grade 8. Like I started drawing like my little comic strip. It was kind of like Garfield, but he was like a human. He's just covered in fur. It was really ridiculous, like stupid Sunday morning comic strips. What I mean? Like, and then I think high school, I just got interested in sports and socializing, and I really dropped it. You know, I didn't really touch a pencil besides like art class. And even 1 year, I remember I even didn't even take art. And then I just made up for it the next year.
Wow.
It was like an easy mark, you know. So, and then after that, I wanted to work for a little while. Take a break. You know, a lot of people from high school, they just decide to take a break, no school for a year or two, right?
Yeah.
And I decided to just serve tables at a restaurant. For a while.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really, really strange. And that turned into like, you know, a year or 2 years. I think it was by the time I was about 23. I was like, okay, like, what am I doing? Right. And the funny thing is I started to draw on the back of my bills. Like, you know, I'd like, you know, you give your guests or whatever their bill for their stay or whatever, like, right, you know, their pizza, their beer or whatever. And I would start drawing like Lemure from like Beauty and the Beast on the back of the bill, or like Ace Ventura or Cogsworth or, you know, anything. And I found that got me a little extra money, you know, because it would only take a couple minutes. Like, you know, you get a formula for a character, right? You just draw it really quick.
Oh, so people would tip you because you drew on the back of their bill.
Well, I hope it has something with the service too, but I did find I would get a little bit extra, and then, you know, some of my customers were like really encouraging me to like you know, look into trying to go somewhere like maybe Sheridan or whatever. And one day,
this was in Toronto.
Actually, Regina, Saskatchewan.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, at Boston Pizza, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and I served some people who were like actually sketching in their sketchbooks, and they were like, okay, like. They looked at my bill. I was like, well, are you planning to go to school or anything? I was like, oh, no. It's just like, you know, kind of thinking about it. But, you know, there's no real place here in Saskatchewan. And they're like, well, actually. And they pull out this card. And there was actually a little place called Studio Saskatoon that they were going to actually eventually make into a school. And so I kind of thought about that for a bit and like, you know, okay, I'm really interested in that. And I think it was between that and actually going to school, I met a friend of mine who is an artist as well at Blockbuster Video. And he had his own little traditional studio in Regina. His name was Gabe Portos. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, I'm not familiar with him.
He's best known for Toothless on How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, okay.
He was a supervising animator, and this guy actually never went to school.
No, come on.
Yeah, totally, right? But he was animating, I guess, like when he was like 9 years old. So anyway, long story short, he needed a cleanup artist for this project he had. I think it was the Saskatchewan or Regina Science Center. He had this like 3 minutes of animation he needed to get done. And I knew nothing about animation, really, never... you know, worked on an animation table or anything. And, yeah, he just told me the basics, like timing charts, you know, follow my drawings. Like, he was a really clean animator at the time. So it was literally just almost tracing his work, right?
Huh. So you didn't go to Sheridan?
No. Actually, I ended up going to a place called Sketch. turned into Red House College of Animation. It was a place in Saskatoon.
It was, really?
Yeah.
Was it a good school? Did they have good teachers?
Actually, it was really amazing. To be honest, I'm surprised that things went the way they did. Like it no longer exists. But you know, the first year was obviously just like an intro, like to animating, right? So you're animating, you're happy, right? So, but at that time we were given a lot of freedom. And, you know, loose animation, whatever. But the second year is really, really when they, like, buckled down. My instructor's name was James Clow. And he was an effects artist, really. But he taught both classes, like, character and effects. But he really tightened you up. Like, he like, in first year, we didn't know dope sheets or nothing. Like, just numbered your drawings, like, just by drawing number. And then James came in. He's like, okay, forget everything you learned. And this is how you fill a dope sheet properly and sequence numbers and all that stuff. And he really was an amazing instructor. Like, I can't thank him enough. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So how many years was that program?
It was 3 years.
Yeah.
At the end of the first year, we had 6 weeks to do a little film. It was like no sound, though. We had about a minute. I had about a minute of this little short film, pencil test. It was called, like, The Big Sting. It was just, like, a story of bees, of all things.
Huh.
Yeah, so I did a little thing there, and then at the end of, in third year, it was, like, basically your own film.
Oh, cool.
And I came up with a 3-minute, fully colored film.
That's great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that's where you learned how to draw, was in that school,
as yeah.
well as animate.
All properly.
Yeah.
Well, as close to I think as properly in a way. We all have our
yeah,
striving
for
more, you know. So
yeah, but yeah. Your stuff is fluid. It's on model. And you do it so fast. It's I'm surprised to hear that you picked it up so late in life.
Yeah, 25 is when my first year. College.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you just excelled. You found that little power source or whatever it was to really escalate your skill set.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't know if it's you know, my competitive nature or, you know, somebody does a good scene and you just want to get after them, like do better than they did. So
your first job out of school was with this, I forget his name.
Gabe. Actually, that was before school.
Oh, you did that before school?
Yes.
Okay. So what studio was this again?
It was called Digital Graphite. It was just like three guys. And like, I think we had like five all together at one time. There was like the computer tech guy who didn't know how to draw or nothing. Like,
and this was in Regina.
Yes. Really smart guy. Huh. There's Gabe, of course, who phenomenally talented, like not talented, but you know.
Yeah. Just, well, this was before he went to LA, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's then, amazing. Some other fellow came on to help with cleanup because I wasn't too fast at that time. And then a fellow named Mike Thurmeyer, he's actually working at Blue Sky now, last I heard anyway. And he went to Sheridan, actually, and he came back while he was waiting for his visa to work on that project, yeah.
So how long did you work there with them?
I think it was about probably about 4 or 5 months. And I was like, I was still serving tables in the evening, like till 2 in the morning. And then I would wake up at, 7:30, go to the studio. And, I kind of kick myself to this day. Like, I should have really paid attention to what they were doing, because maybe I could have, the animators anyway, like Mike and Gabe.
Well, you certainly are not far from that, I don't think.
Thanks very much.
Your stuff is wonderful. It's always a pleasure to see it come to life when you have it in your hands.
Thanks.
So then you go to Sketch.
Yes.
And you're there for 3 years.
Yeah.
So now you're out of school and you're like, what, 29?
27, 28, yeah, around there.
Wow. And then where did you go from there?
Well, there's a little studio in Saskatoon that I think is still around. It's called Cheshire Smile.
Really? I'm blown away that there's these animation studios in the middle of Canada.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for them, that's for sure.
Cheshire Smile, and they're still there.
Yes, it's mostly Flash. I think they're doing some 3D stuff now.
Okay.
At the time we were hired on, like, their president came and like visited the school. There's only 7 of us third years left at the end. And he basically hired almost all of us, I think six of us, to do something or other. And then there's a year before us, he also grabbed some people. But anyway, it was a show called Fairy Tale Christmas, which was hand-drawn on paper. it was not a great production. It didn't turn out too great because it was a bunch of rookie animators, right?
Uh-huh.
But the funny thing is, like, we were never allowed to see our line tests. Like, okay. They had storyboard poses, right? And then we just follow those, and then we do probably about the breakdown stage, like keys and breakdowns, and then hand it in, and someone would shoot it, follow our dope sheet, and we wouldn't get to see it. And they just said, okay, let's go ahead, keep going.
So that's like the old Looney Tunes system. That's what they did in Termite Terrace.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah, they would just do their animation and hand it off, and they'd never see it again.
Wow.
They didn't even get a chance to see it on the Moviola.
Wow.
So you got the old school treatment.
Yeah, I guess so. It was actually really cool. We had like 4 of us, the key animators, all grouped together.
And so that lasted?
About a year.
Okay.
I think it was about a year of animation, and I stayed on and did some color work to, keep the bills being paid.
Yeah.
Or at least try and help.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting some Flash work on a show called Stroker and Hoop, which is puppet animation.
Yeah.
It was kind of modeled after like Starsky and Hutch.
So then from there, so you were doing that at a studio, or that was something you did at a distance?
I was actually at studio. It was still in Saskatoon. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And then from there, it was about 3 months of nothing. And I think I was forced to go back a little bit to serving tables. It was great to have like a cushion job,
Yeah, for sure.
a place that can always like take you back. And can't remember what we did after that. Oh yeah, it was I moved to Ottawa to work at Mercury Filmworks.
Oh good.
Yeah.
That was in their infancy?
I'm not sure. I think they were around for a little while already.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a show called The Weird Years. Kind of like The Simpsons, but they're basically from, I think they're from Italy or something, or Russia, and they all moved in. It was like this family with like thick accents and trying to fit in, you know, type of thing. And that was about 8 months, and then did Gerald McBoing Boing for a little while.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So this is all puppet.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely, you can definitely feel something isn't there when it's puppet, at least for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's better than Flash.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Flash, you have to layer everything yourself, and yeah, I think in Harmony, you could just, like, hit control up or down. I can't remember. It's been a long time since they didn't puppet work in Harmony, but yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you did that for how many years?
I think altogether it was close to a year. And then I got a job offer back in Saskatoon. My wife actually, Jennifer Allen, I'd like to, you know, say hi.
Okay.
Yeah. Without her support, like, you know, because, you know, it's hard to work steady work in this industry sometimes.
For sure.
Anyway, I moved back home to Saskatoon to be with her because she never moved with me to Ottawa.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the deal was like try and get like a 6 months or more contract and then maybe we'll talk about maybe moving. All of us out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that came and went, and the school actually offered me a position to help teach at Red House College, where I had graduated from. And then a studio also reached out to help or to get some work on a show called Click and Clack's Car Talk or something like that. Okay. So I could actually teach and do the animation too. Hmm. But again, it was puppet animation. Oh, I actually ended up teaching, I think, for about, it was a total of about 3 years, I think.
Well, that's a long haul.
Yeah. It was small classes, which was great. And there were a couple like stars that definitely made it easier. A lot of the students didn't have a huge drive for it. You know, I'm not sure if they were wanting to do animation or if it was just like a time filler. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So after that, you got an offer somewhere?
Actually, funny story. I was just wrapping up class. This is my second last year. A fellow named Paul Dutton. I think the most he was known for, I think he was the assistant or animation director on The Illusionist.
Okay.
Yeah. He had his own studio in Calgary. And he had known the president of the school, and he came to, like, basically, I found out, to kind of sort of recruit. But the funny thing is, most of the students didn't even stay and, like, say hi to him. They just went home. I was like, oh, my goodness. Okay, if you guys aren't showing him stuff, I'm going to show him stuff because, like, you know, I still want to work on a feature film, you know?
Right.
And I showed him some designs, and he's like, oh, wow, you did that? Just like, how did you do that? I was like, well, I just like people would walk by the window at the school and I would just sketch them. So, okay, interesting. And eventually he contacted Cheshire Style, the studio I worked with in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he asked if there are any more animators left in Saskatoon. And then Tim had said, you know, well, I think Chris Weem's still here. Why don't I give you his contact info? Actually, I should back up a minute. Sorry. Yeah. All this stuff floods back afterwards.
Yeah.
While I was working at the school, I was working for this company who was in Toronto. He was trying to do little short films, and he hired a friend of mine and myself to kind of storyboard and, like, do character designs for him. I don't want to name the company, but Anyway, he only ever paid me once. Oh, no. And it was like $300 he gave me. It's like, well, I'll give you the rest later, you know. So that $300 turned into like $7,000. So it's like, okay, I'm going to stop. Like, this is cool. I can work.
You know, I think every animator has one of those in their career. Oh, totally. I have one of those. And yeah. It's painful when you don't get paid for the work you do.
It's hard because I got that little, you know, that big nest egg. Well, it gets to be big. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just, you know, wait another 2 weeks and then I'll have it for you.
Yeah, that's always a story.
Yeah. But at that point, I was like, okay, I'm thinking about really kind of giving up, like actually pursuing animating and just, you know, teaching or do something else. And then Paul had came to the studio, like I said, and he actually contacted Cheshire Smile. And I thought it was like a hoax, like this guy named Paul Dutton. Like, you know, I never really heard of him until I Googled him, of course, looking for like traditional animator. I was like, this sounds too good to be true, you know? And then, just hired me on to work on a show called Tatouf Le Film. It was a French feature. And it was for studio, I think it was called Moonscoop at the time, was the head studio.
I haven't heard of
him. And he was working through Animagic. Animagic was like the middle studio, so we would like send stuff to Animagic, and then they would give us like revisions or whatnot. And then we'd send it to Moonscoop. But yeah, it was like all on paper.
And you did animation. That. Now that the studio was in France.
Paul's studio was in Calgary.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were kind of doing a remote there, but I was still in Saskatoon.
So you're doing Paul this by distance with mail.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah, and it was actually pretty strict. Like, they wouldn't pay you unless you sent your dope sheet first and have it filled out properly. Yeah, it was really, really strict. And with that time difference between, you know, Saskatoon and France, you know, you had to really get stuff in early. So, yeah. Yeah, but I learned so much from Paul. So much.
Oh, good.
Like, I think that's where I got some of my speed from. Because the first assignment he gave me was, I think, about 11 characters from, like, a bird's eye view. From, like, the top of a school building, and all these kids were, like, walking and playing on the school ground. And it was just a bunch of kids walking. And, you know, it was like a test. He, like, wasn't really sure to send me stuff to Saskatoon. He wanted me to move to Calgary. So I said, okay, I kind of feel sorry for you. I'm from Saskatchewan too. So here's a scene as a test, really, to be honest. And I kind of got through it. Like, took a few days, but I was working off a laptop with a scanner. And as you know, like back then, like 10 years ago or so, the scanner would just take forever each picture, right? So eventually my scanner fried. So I was like, okay, like my luck really sucks because I couldn't figure out how to find a proper scanner and, like, you know, attach peg bars and stuff again. And finally just said, buy a webcam and like build a little light table of yourself or a camera stand for yourself. So I did that with like, you know, copper piping and stuff like that.
Good grief.
Yeah, so he was like, oh my god, this kid's determined. Like, you know, it's like duct tape and like everything all like homemade. It was pretty amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that was a great, great project. It was probably one of my favorite projects to this day. To
really? Be
honest. Yeah.
Tatouf.
Yeah. There's a comic strip and then they made it into a film. I think there's a series too. But, one of my favorite shots, it was near the end, was a Tyrannosaurus Rex morphing into a school teacher. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's actually in my demo reel still. Yeah, but yeah, that was super fun. Like, the things you get to do as an animator, right?
Right.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And so then how long did that last? That was what?
That was about 5 months.
5 months of work. Wow.
Yeah. Short. And then 2 weeks went by and then he came up with another project as Day of the Crows.
Okay, Phil Lockerbie was on that.
Yeah, which we found out eventually that we worked together on it.
we never met each other.
yeah. He was in Montreal and, you know, I'm still in Saskatoon.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a crazy project. That was hard. It was so hard. Yeah. I remember particularly one scene I was on for about five weeks or so. It was like a bunch of soldiers marching towards the camera, and there was like this crowd of people clapping and cheering, and they had to like kind of like walk in perspective and kind of turn near the end, and one guy was talking with a megaphone, and oh my goodness, that was just a nightmare.
Now, why was this film hard? Because everyone I've talked to said this was a really difficult film, but when you look at it, it doesn't look like it would be hard.
I'm not sure. I think, again, like, it was only the second traditional project, really, for me.
Okay.
Like, well, I guess third. But, yeah, like, I'm very, like, old-school Disney type of stuff for myself.
And this was not that.
No, totally different, right? You know, skinny kid and no real room for squash and stretch. And I remember the dad was particularly hard to draw. So much detail. Like between the lines, like just for like, you know, showing muscle and like hair and his beard and oh my goodness. So hard. But eventually, what happened is I had a few scenes under my belt, and that big scene had kind of destroyed me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like your confidence.
Yeah, for sure.
And they just decided to kind of work things a little differently. I think Phil had mentioned that the lead animator just started cranking out stuff that we could just tie down for him.
Okay, no, I didn't remember that.
Yes, anyway, I ended up doing that type of stuff. The studio decided to kind of move me to that level for a minute just because they needed the stuff to get done, right? The film was behind. And that's where I think I learned a lot too, because they sent me Nick DeBray, I think his name is. They sent me his scenes, and he would animate like really, really fast, like barely even lift his pen off the paper or his pencil off the paper with like a real fat, like almost like a kindergarten pencil, it would seem, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he would tie down, say, a scene was like 160 frames long. He would do two tie down drawings for you, like the beginning and like near the end or a middle one, depending on the scene. And you would have to tie it down for him. Meanwhile, all the other drawings are like a mess.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was such a learning experience. Like you would just flip stuff and you're like obviously still pretty green. And I would roll stuff. I was like, there is no way this chart is going to make some, this isn't going to work. But, you know, you're new. You have to do what the chart says. You know, you have to do what the man says or else you might get let go. Yeah. So I shot it and I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing. Like it was just like a character, like kind of like said, oh my God, I like dropped his, couldn't believe what was going on. He dropped his weight and he just traveled so fast. Or so far in like a matter of like one frame. But what made it work was the slow in to the next pose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I think at that point I realized what you can really do exaggerating like spacing and time wise.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember a similar situation when an animator was showing me a commercial of a bee flying. And it was doing a circle, and it wouldn't circuit the entire circle with the posing, and it was just suggesting it. But, you know, when you played it at speed, it was filling in the circle, even though it never went to the right.
Was there any smears or anything?
No,
or
color? There wasn't really. There was a little bit of a smear just to give you enough indication, but it wasn't traced at all in the movement. It's just something that you would accept as a viewer.
I wonder if that's like, well, if you see like a fly buzzing around at your house or something, and it's so sporadic, I wonder if you're just like, I wonder if your mind kind of like puts that together too.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. So Day of the Crows.
Right. Day of the Crows, that was a little over a year. I did that while I was teaching. God, I was mental. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, I was tired.
I can imagine.
So tired. Like, it was kind of cool because the school was so small at that point. There's only like 4 students at a time. And so I would work while they were working because you can't really criticize their work until they shoot a line test or whatever. Unless they call, you know. So I would kind of make up time that way. But yeah.
Okay.
And cool. After that, the school almost went under. So I just kind of like went back to serving at the old go-to for a little while. And it was 2 weeks before the next school year started. And the president had called me again and said, "Do you want to come back?" It was like 2 weeks notice, right? I was like, well, no, actually, I don't, because I can't. It's not reliable anymore.
Right.
To be honest. So, yeah, I ended up serving for, I think, 2 years almost.
Back at Boston Pizza.
Back at Boston Pizza. Yeah. I would do the odd supervisor shift or manager shift here and there. And it was like, you know, it was almost like a 6-hour day job every day. You take up extra shifts in the evening too, just to make a little extra money. And
yeah.
A friend of mine eventually got a job at Disney Interactive here in Kelowna. And eventually, I actually worked on a little film for only a small amount of time, for probably about 2 months, called El Santos. I got the work from Kaleidoscope. It was hand-drawn in Flash. It's a Mexican little thing.
Mm.
Kind of like The Simpsons, how it used to look.
Okay.
Anyway, there's that, and did some commercials for Cheshire Smile here and there. Just little 25-second spots. Nothing to keep food on the table, by any means. So, yeah, and I was saying one of my friends got a job at Disney Interactive here, and eventually they needed a hand-drawn animator out here. But it was still in Flash, though. Like, you would kind of blend it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. My assignment was basically animating bouncing balls with faces. Character things, they're like so small on screen you could barely even make out any emotion or anything. But they were like little pets of these penguins. Club Penguin was the main game that they did. So I basically did all these little quirky animations with those for about a year and a half. So it kind of drive me a little mental, because you're used to hands and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You just have nothing, really. But they had me do effects work as well, which is nice to do that stuff now and then for the marketing department. And then eventually they dragged me over to the marketing team for a while. And I got to direct a little short for them for one of their Puffle characters. It was like a 2-minute little Flash thing. And then eventually I just kind of like sat myself down and thought to myself, is this making me happy? Like, you know, you just need something more to work with.
Yeah, for sure.
And actually Paul Dutton had posted on Facebook and said, cool project for a studio in Vancouver. If you guys are interested, like basically putting them word out for DHX. So I actually contacted Paul. I said, "Oh, hey, who's directing all that stuff?" And he's like, "It's actually Dallas Parker and Craig Roberts." I was like, "Okay, cool." So Dallas actually worked on the Tattoo film as well.
Okay.
With Paul. So we didn't, again, know each other, but we knew each other's scenes, you know? So I contacted him and just said, "Hey, you remember me? I worked with you on Tattoo." And he's like, "Oh, great. You know, you think about working on this show?" I was like, "Well, that'd be great if I could be a part of it." And at that time, I hadn't switched my Saskatchewan number yet to like my phone number to BC number. So I gave him my phone number. It was a 306 number. And then he got back to me and he said, "Actually, if you're still in Saskatchewan, I can't hire you because of tax credits, you know?"
Yeah.
And then I emailed him back and I was like, "Actually, I live in Kelowna." but my number just hasn't changed. You know, I just haven't got around to doing it. I've been here for about a year. So I was like, oh, great. Can you start on Monday? But at the time, I was still working at Disney Interactive. So I kind of, like I said, I just sit down and think about what I wanted to do. So eventually I just moved over to, not moved physically, but started on Mr. Peabody and Sherman full time. And that's where I met Phil. So
Okay, so Phil was there at DHX.
Yeah.
Didn't you work on The Prophet?
Oh, I did. I did. That was actually during Disney Interactive as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do it in the evenings. But I didn't actually have a Cintiq at the time. I had just a tablet. So my hand-eye coordination had to really play catch-up. So, yeah, that was a hard project. I was only part-time. And I flat out told him I can only do 15, 20 hours a week. He's like, any help is help, right?
And that was in Kelowna as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I did in Kelowna. Paul was, I think, still in Calgary. And he had a bunch of remote workers all over the world again. Huh. And eventually that got turned into 3D. And I think that was another blow.
The Prophet was turned into 3D?
Yeah, it was 2D in the beginning. And we had a few minutes done. I think that's, I didn't see very much of anybody else's work. But yeah, it eventually got turned into 3D, despite people striving to get it completely done in 2D. Some new producers came on and just said, no, we're going to do it 3D. It was great, actually. It was kind of weird seeing your own scene turned into 3D, though.
Right. It was directed by Roger Allers.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I actually had a couple emails with him back and forth. It was actually really neat.
Huh, cool.
Got those legends, you know, to think one day you'll actually end up talking to somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
It is so crazy.
Huh. So was he up in Kelowna doing that, or was he in L.A.?
He must have been in L.A., I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me, while I was teaching, I actually had a chance to go down to L.A. to visit my friend Gabe at DreamWorks.
Oh, okay, cool.
And we actually got to sit in James Baxter's office for about 20 minutes.
Cool.
And watch some of the movie.
That's fantastic.
It was so amazing. And I was so shy. I think I must have said 5 words. But man, it was so humbling to be there.
Yeah.
Those guys are all just, so good.
Yeah, they are.
So good. Yeah.
That's a great place too. Free lunch. You got a free lunch there?
I did. What an amazing property. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So from there, you where did you head out to? So Peabody. It was Peabody. You did a few shows for that.
Yeah, I did 2 seasons, actually. Phil was on the second season with us. So we did that. And then Phil had left to do other stuff in Montreal, which I was super jealous of. Of course. And
well, there's always room for you out here, you know.
Oh, I know.
I've been reminding you of that.
I know. Oh, man. Yeah, maybe one day, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
There's personal stuff going on, so.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, after Peabody, we were supposed to do Rocky and Bullwinkle. And that got put on hold for a little bit.
Yeah.
So they put me on to the My Little Pony movie.
Lovely.
Yeah. Which is, My Little Pony for me wasn't, the dream job. But it was actually pretty cool because I ended up just doing rough animation for it. And they would do use the puppets in harmony to go over my line work. And
oh, that's good.
Do it that way. Yeah.
That saved you from that agony.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it was really cool. Met some more cool people, which is really great. People that worked at Disney Australia.
Right.
She was the animation director, Nadine. Can't remember her last name. Anyway, she was really great. You'd have Skype meetings with her, and she'd act it out what she wanted and stuff. And That was a great, again, learning experience.
My Little Pony was a learning experience.
Yeah, it was really cool. I got to animate a few anthropomorphic characters, you know. Basically a human cat. That was kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was mostly like keys and breakdowns. It wasn't a lot of full animation unless I really wanted to do it.
And that was just a few years ago that you did that, right?
Yeah. And then Rock and Bone Girl started up. Again, it was like, you know, limited. You had your full animation here and there, but not like the stuff we're doing.
Right.
But again, I think it really focused on your timing and your strong posing.
Yeah.
But so, yeah.
Okay. So then after Bullwinkle, then you came working for us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Phil, Phil eventually is like, you got to get on this project.
Yeah.
Like I really have to commend Phil for, you know, being the other remote guy on Peabody. Like we really bonded, I think. Just because, like, you know, you'd show each other stuff, right? You'd send a swift over or whatever and give you advice or, you know, I like that or don't do that or, you know, it's great to have other people look at your stuff.
Yeah, especially when you're doing it from home and you don't have any other kind of feedback. That's invaluable. I'll continue my conversation with Chris Weem in our next episode. And looking ahead, Disney animator Tony Bancroft will be with me. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. You can find us on the web at schaefercreative.studio. Music is by Lee Rosevere.